We're doing the Chafetz Chaim's Avat Chesed, and the Chafetz Chaim is discussing the Avat Chesed, is discussing the mitzvah. There's a special mitzvah in the Torah to help a guy out with a loan before he collapses financially. Aside from the general mitzvah to give a loan, there's a mitzvah to ensure that you help the guy before he hits financial collapse. Meaning sometimes, imagine, let's say a person invested in the stock market, and he believed the stock market would crash. So now, the stock market reached an all-time high. And they're calling him and they're saying, hey, you shorted the market, you have to cover your short, otherwise we're going to close all your positions. Now, it's logical to assume that if the market is at an all-time high, then it's going to go down. At least it's going to go down from where it's at now. It might go up later, but it's going to go down. So if you help him cover his short now, it's logical to assume in a week or two or a month or two, he'll at least be able to pull out with less of a loss. He won't collapse. They won't close his accounts. But if he doesn't cover that, so boom, they close his accounts. You have a person who has creditors. He has the bank. You know, Donald Trump writes in his book that he was once called when there were problems in the real estate market in New York. So it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and the bankers at Citibank called him up, and they said, we're going to close you down because we don't see how you're going to pay back all the loans you took. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, they called him up to come down to their bank, these Japanese bankers, to discuss his loans. And he said he was walking down the street at that time. It was freezing cold in the winter, and he passed by a beggar lying in a newspaper, wrapped up in a newspaper, and he thought to himself, I just came out of a building called Trump Towers, well heated, I have my own floor, and I have marble floors, but everyone would assume I'm better off than this guy. You know what? He's better off than I am. He's at zero, and I'm at minus I don't know how many million. So he's better off than I am. Now, that night was a pivotal night in his life, because if the bankers would have closed him down, if they would have called their loans, that's it. He would have had to close all his deals at a loss and ended up not only bankrupt, but minus millions. And today, I don't know if he's minus millions. I don't know. He at least says he isn't. So sometimes you have those moments in business where if you can just cover to pass through this phase, then you're not going to collapse. And the Torah gives us a special mitzvah, recognizing that. The Torah gives us a special mitzvah to give a loan to a person to help him avoid financial collapse. Help him out before he collapses. So that's an added mitzvah to the mitzvah of giving loans. There's that added mitzvah, and we already discussed many times the different safeguards that the Torah expects us to take before we give a loan. Meaning the Torah didn't expect us to just go out there and give a loan and then never see that money again. The Torah said, okay, have him sign over his house, his car, his yacht, you know. There are safeguards you're supposed to take to protect yourself. So the Chafetz Chaim, going on that topic, had said that he sees certain communities set up an organization, a communal organization called Somech Noflim. That organization, their job is to give loans even without collateral, but you have to bring a co-signer. So the businesses, this is their way of helping one another. And they'll only give a loan to a business owner who they have faith in, and he's reputable that he pays back his debts. And they have all kinds of rules, how much each person is allowed to take as a loan and how much you get if you have a co-signer. And a person can only co-sign for one business at a time. You're not allowed to co-sign for two friends at a time, only after you've finished paying off one loan. And you could only give loans or co-sign for people who you can trust. And if the borrower didn't pay up, they go to the co-signer, and then they keep a record of who didn't pay up, and they'll never again give him a loan, because he's ruined his reputation. So they keep a record for years. And he saw, the Chafetz Chaim says, I saw these organizations, and I see they do a great job. They do a lot of kindness, and they help people from collapse, and they really set them on their feet. Nonetheless, says the Chafetz Chaim, you have to be aware that not everyone can really function with this idea of co-signing. Because you might end up losing a lot of money. You end up going to the cosigner. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have the money. You could lose a lot of money. A lot of gemachs, a lot of organizations that try to help people end up collapsing without a penny. Because sometimes you go to the cosigner and he says, sorry, I don't have anything. Yeah?
I have a question. You say that it's a mitzvah to like give a loan and everything. Does that mitzvah apply to everybody?
Well, only if you can afford it.
I'm saying, like what if, like, technically you might be able to afford it, but you're actually so economically challenged to where you have no idea if you'd either be taken advantage of or know how to follow up or actually play the role of paying the loan.
Right. So, a few things. Number one, go take counsel. Meaning, I've had many times that people came to me and said, someone's pressuring me to give them a loan, someone's pressuring me. We had in a different yeshiva a few months ago that a guy came to the yeshiva and went over to one of the guys and said, my son is going to have a bar mitzvah in 2 weeks and I have to buy him tefillin and they'll only sell me tefillin if I have cash and I can give a check and they're not willing to take a check and I need 3,000 shekel. So, for tefillin. So the guy said, he came to me and said, we have a mutual acquaintance, someone referred him, and a whole story. So I said to him, okay, tell him you want the sofer's phone number. You want to talk to the sofer. You're not giving him the money. You want to talk to the sofer. And you want his address, and you want to call the mutual acquaintance. Follow up. He's telling you a story. Follow up on it. Then you have a question. Till you followed up on the facts, you don't have a question. What do you know, Joe? He tells him he wants to do that. The guy walks out. Doesn't even say thank you. Doesn't answer the question. Just walks out. So he comes back to me and says, did I insult him? I said, well, if he's insulted because you want to verify if he's telling the truth, then so be it. There's no mitzvah to give a loan in a stupid way. You want a loan, then I have to verify. Could it be he was insulted? Could be. Not likely. Probably he was a charlatan. If you really need the money, you really want the money, then I'm legitimate in trying to verify who you are. If you're not going to let me verify who you are, go in peace. I had a first-time occurrence last week. Ordinarily, as I'm walking from the central bus station, some people stop me and they say, can you give me money to buy food for my kids? This happens once a month, once every 2 months. And I always say, if you're hungry, if your children are hungry, come with me to the store down the block. I'll buy you some bread and you could bring that to your kids. And invariably they'll say, bread? Nah, I need cereal, I need this, I need that. And I'll always answer, I don't have the money to buy that for my own kids. I'll buy you the same bread I buy my kids for breakfast. You say you're hungry, I'll buy you 2 loaves of bread. I was never followed up on this offer, aside from last week. I was on my way home from Tachna Merkazit. A young man comes over to me and says, I have 9 siblings at home, and they're hungry. Could you help me out? So I said, sure, come with me to the store, and I'll buy you bread. So he says, fine. And he came with me to the store. So I said, okay, if he's ready, coming with me to the store. So I bought him 4 loaves of bread. I didn't buy him 2. So I was carrying a lot of things, and I had my whole family with me and everything. I told them all to wait. I said, fine. If he's legit, I don't know. But the halacha says if someone says he's hungry, so there you don't have time to look into whether he's legit or not, right? Because he might drop dead by the time you verify. So he says he's hungry. He says he has hungry siblings at home. So that was the first time. I have to tell you, in over a decade that I've been doing this, and I'm telling you this happens very often, this is the first time someone took me up on it. He also tried to get more out of me. He also said, well, maybe you could buy chocolate milk for them or this, that, other thing. I said, go fly a kite. You say they're hungry, I'll buy you 4 loaves of bread. And I did. Just my luck, they didn't have the regular bread. I had to buy them this fancy, whole wheat bread and whatever. It was the end of the day. But, okay, fine, that's legitimate. But I'm saying, these are tricks you learn over time. A person says, all I need is a loan. So you say, fine, all I need is collateral. And that's legitimate. And a person who's not willing to work with that, so no. A person might say, financially, I can't deal with it. So that's where we learned earlier that the Chafetz Chaim says you can make a gemach of many things. I used to, in yeshiva, they had a computer. A computer, this is back in the days of floppy disks. I don't know if any of you still remember that. So you'd work on the computer and then you'd have to save your stuff on floppy disks. Who had a floppy disk? So I had a Rebbe who passed away without children and he hosted me back in the yeshiva of Mir in the United States. And I wanted to do something in his memory when he passed away. So I set up a gemach of floppy disks. I bought 5 floppy disks. I put them there, and I said, okay, this is for use. You use it till you go home. You copy it onto a disk, copy it back home, bring back the disk. Ma? Shalom, shalom. I had tafus shem, as it's chal nufa. So I'm saying that's a risk that made sense. I said to myself, okay, what am I risking? 30 shekel. I set up a gemach as long as it lasts. As long as people... Gemach is an acronym for gemilut chesed. So you could set up. You're in a base medrash. You say, okay, I'll buy 5 pens and I'll make them available for whoever needs. I'll put them in the general. There's a box in the back for whoever needs to borrow the pens. You know that over time they're going to get lost. They're not going to last. The question is, will they last a day, a week, or a month? But more than that, they probably won't last. It shouldn't be that way, but okay. So a person can say, I'm going to do kindness with my fellow men, and I can't afford, like you're saying, to give loans. Even if I have savings of $10,000, I can't deal with this running after people. So there are also organizations you could work with. You have to get a reputable organization that won't go bankrupt on you, that they'll give you the money back when you're done. But there are organizations that'll help a person. So you're right. Sometimes a person doesn't have the capacity to give loans. But you'll be surprised. Very often people need a 5 shekel loan or a 15 shekel loan. And that's something which you're not taking too big a risk on. But once it's a larger amount, you really should consult with a rabbi before you give the loan. Because so many people have gotten burnt here, where they gave loans to someone who seemed nice, and they were studying with him in the yeshiva, and everything seemed great, and then he disappeared. And now go find him. He's somewhere in Ecuador. No, I'm not joking. I'm serious. This is something that happens every 2-3 years here. That there's a guy that shows up, takes a bunch of loans, and disappears. And everything was very nice. He seemed very sincere. He wore tzitzis and tefillin like everyone else. But he wasn't as religious as he seemed.
What kind of amounts are we talking about? Like 100 shekels?
No. We're talking about big amounts. You have to do things intelligently, but you could. I would strongly recommend, before you give a loan that's more than 50 shekel, consult with a rabbi. Just make sure you're not being duped. Take his passport. Take things that'll give you real collateral. I take a passport for scissors. So when I lend scissors, I take the passport as collateral. You know I'm going to get those scissors back, right? Every loan, I always take a much bigger collateral. This way I know I'm getting it back. Someone wanted to borrow a book from me last night. I said, what collateral are you going to give me? So he said, my set of Sigmund Freud. I said, fine, I give you one book, you give me a set. That's a good collateral. Fine. I want the book back. It's going to cost me 80 shekel to replace it. I'm happy lending. I just want it back. So, okay, so that's what I'm saying. Try to get intelligent collateral. Okay, back to the Chafetz Chaim. So he says... וגם דווקא בחברה סומך נופלים שיעשויה לחתחילה באופן זה להחזיק די בעל הבית שנתמוטט שיש לו בושה להביא משכון ומתרצין שיחלה במקצת על ידי זה וכמו שכתב הרמב"ם מצא זאת הוא להחזיק ידו במתנה ובהלוואה ועוסקים מחזיקים קופת עברה בנדבות חדשות שמתחדשות על ידי זה מדי יום ויום. And the Chafetz Chaim says, so some people can't afford it. They can't afford to be co-signers, and they can't afford to give loans with co-signing. Unless you have a lot of money, you can't always afford that. And he also says, specifically in this group that's helping people from collapse or that have collapsed, people will often go into it knowing that they're not going to get their full amount back. And that's also a mitzvah. I have a gemach like that. I have a gemach that gives loans, but I only give loans for you guys on money that I was donated. Meaning I try to do two things. One is I give loans, but it's long-term loans. A guy comes to Machon Meir, and then he wants to get a job. And he needs to take a course to get his license as a nurse ratified here in Israel. Who's going to give him a loan? His parents aren't here to co-sign. He doesn't own any property. The banks aren't going to give him a loan. Where's he going to get money from? He's going to go to a loan shark? Never go to a loan shark. Clean streets, but don't go to a loan shark. Believe me. Never in your life. That should not be the last option. That's not even an option. No. I know people who work their whole lives, and they're never going to pay off the loan shark because the interest becomes 30%, and you end up spending...
A month, right?
Yeah, they end up paying, let's say a guy took, I've seen many people who took a 15,000 shekel loan, 20,000 shekel loan, they end up having to pay 2,000 shekel a month interest. Now, you don't want to mess with him because he breaks people's legs, you know, and he does all kinds of things. So, no, you never, that's not even the last option, that's not on the chart, that's not there. So, at any rate, the idea of the Gemach I set up is that people give me donations and I give loans with the understanding you'll pay over time. Over time could be a year, 5 years, whatever we set up. But that way a person can get settled. He can go into a course. He could take the course he needs. He could get certified. He could find a job and then he'll be able to pay it back. But I only work with money that was donated because I'm not going to go chasing after the guy. And I'm not going to go suing the guy. Then you have a guy that says, I need 4 years in college. I need a loan. I need to buy equipment to be a photographer. I need 30,000 shekels worth of loan. It's legit. So then I try to be a shadchan. I try to be a matchmaker to match the guy with the lender. But I don't take any responsibility. Just I tell them the story. And so far, Baruch Hashem, all the guys have paid up. Meaning the guys that needed long-term loans are in the process of paying up. It's a recurring thing. And the guys that took these big loans all paid up, Baruch Hashem. But I never take that. I don't take responsibility for. But that's this idea. He's saying sometimes, and that's often what happens, people don't pay back. A guy does go bankrupt, even though you helped him. Now what? What are you going to do? There's a certain risk involved in doing these acts of kindness, and sometimes you can't protect yourself. And even so, if you can afford it, it's still a mitzvah to give the loan. I've had numerous times where I gave loans of substantial amounts. A guy was about to be evicted. So his kid and his wife and everything was about to be out in the streets. So I gave him a loan, and he was sure he'd be able to pay it back. I said, fine, one day you'll pay it back. Good. For now, you don't have to pay it back. That's we covered your rent this month. Fine. He never paid it back. Halvai, I should see that money back. There's a lot of money rent, you know. It's 3,000-4,000 shekel. It's a lot of money. But that's also kindness. Sometimes a loan where you know you might bite the bullet, that's also an act of kindness. But he's saying you have to be able to afford that. You have to be at a state where you can afford to lose that money, otherwise you shouldn't enter that. And the way these organizations work is that they keep getting new donations so they could function. But if they can't afford that, says the Chafetz Chaim, then they really should not work without collateral. If you have a system where you won't be able to afford it, you're going to close down, so then that's not your chesed. You can't do that kindness. You can't give those loans and then end up closing down and not being there for all the other people because this guy didn't pay you back. So then your kindness is that you insist on getting good collateral. He says, when you're an organization that keeps getting new donations, so you can afford to take some losses. When you're an organization that can't afford it, so then make sure to have good collateral. Okay.